So I'm speaking today with Joanna Wiebe about how to write amazing subject lines. She's the founder of copyhackers.com, where she sells fantastic ebooks on copywriting, as well as runs a great free mailing list, writes on a blog, and has cheat sheets that will help you write better copy. So I wanted to kind of jump straight into subject lines and how to make them better. What's an example of a subject line that you've seen that you would give the copy hacker's seal of approval to?
Okay, I think that's a really good question. The problem is that I don't have like one example, right? Like there's not like one example I can pull from my swipe file that's like, this is the ultimate subject line. And there's a reason for that, and I think this is a reason that most copywriters would hopefully get into, and that's simply that if you're gonna get the copy hacker seal of approval, then you're going to have to base your subject line on whatever your customers or prospects want to need to hear at that time. So there's a lot, you know, you get a lot of like formulas out there, right? People say always lead with a personalization or something, or always have a brand name up at the front of the subject line. Always make sure you do this, and always do that. And I haven't seen any evidence in any subject line tests that there's an always, or maybe there's a few nevers, but I don't know that there's like an always or like an ideal subject line. The ideal subject line in my world is a subject line that is one of a series of subject lines that's going to be tested. So that's not a really like, again, that's not an example of a subject line, but how to get to those subject lines that can be tested, that's where we can go with like how to get the copy hacker seal of approval. So when I write a subject line, or when I put together a selection of subject lines for my clients to test, it really comes down to about five things that I'm looking for. My big list of five. So isn't that convenient? A perfectly round five? It does come down to these things. And one is really the basics. The basics are the things that we hear about a lot that have become, you know, the quote-unquote best practices, the things that you should really be considering, even with subject lines that you're going to test. So those basics are things like I said, like including the brand name somewhere in the subject line, even if it's also in the front, sticking to this 50 characters or less, characters or spaces or less, that kind of thing, that's a base, right? Unless you have evidence of something else working, of like a longer subject line being the better way to go. Like we'll see that with, you know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Beyond the Rack. That's a big site in Canada for like these deals, right? These daily deals. And they, like a lot of daily deal sites, will list off like the big brands that are available today. And of course, you're not going to try to squeeze that down to 50 characters of spaces if you've got like a ton of really great stuff, right? But that's to be tested, and that's dependent again on what your customers are expecting from you, things like that. So that's kind of a basic though, is try to stick with those 50 characters or fewer. Not using title case, but using like sentence case instead. Are we coming through okay? Cool. Avoiding these like overtly spammy words or a lot of spammy words, and essentially mirroring the subject line in your email headline. So those are the basics. Outside of the basics are the other things that I think you should absolutely be considering. If you're going to get serious about subject, then you should, because those emails that you're trying to get people to read are so, they're only going to get into that email, of course, if they click. And the subject line is the only thing that's going to make them click, right? So outside of it, so we've talked about the basics, and there's also the trigger, right? We have to consider, are people expecting this email or aren't they? And that will help you understand what kind of subject line to write. So if it's a newsletter that's sent every Tuesday, without fail, it's probably going to have a different subject line than a newsletter that's sent out of the blue, or that's like an alert, right? Mm-hmm. If it's not a newsletter, if it's not news-related at all, but something that's more like, it wasn't expected, it's triggered from inside your app, or it's triggered because you abandoned your cart or whatever else, and that's a whole set of considerations, but these are like the quote-unquote trigger that needs to be considered when you're writing that subject line. How long ago did they ask for this email, right? If they signed up with you on LaunchRock, you know, 8 months ago, and you're finally launching, and that's what's triggering this email is, oh, we've launched and you before you told us you wanted to know about this. Well, that email subject line is going to be a lot different than a purchase letter sent every Tuesday. So that makes sense, obviously, right? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, so I was going to jump to the next question I had here, which is, so subject lines and page headlines feel kind of similar. They're about the same length, you know, but they have a totally different purpose. How do you sort of consider subject lines different from page headlines and in how you write them? And you touched on some of that in what you said previously.
Yeah. So I think that subject lines are different from short copy headlines, but similar to long copy headlines. Mm-hmm. So, and this is a little bit complex, right? Like it seems quite simple, but it's actually, you know, there's a lot of subtleties here. So let's just think first of all how short subject lines are similar to long form headlines. They're similar to them in that they perform better, in tests that I've seen at least, they perform better when they intrigue the reader in some way or, you know, tease them in some way and not in a tricky way, right? Like we don't want to trick the reader into opening, but we want to intrigue them. And that's what a long form headline is about leading you from one block of copy to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, versus short form where it's like, we're going to guess at what you might want to see, or we're going to summarize everything in 7 words or 5 words, or we're going to use clever messaging or wordplay, or focus on savings if it's a plans and pricing page, or focus on the value prop if it's a home page, right? Things like that. So the short form is more about getting to the point. And that's not to say that subject lines are not about getting to the point, because you have to do it really quickly. But if you're not intriguing the reader, if you're not giving them one thing that they need from this, one point that they absolutely have to get, if you're not targeting a pain or showing some sort of delight, then your subject line is probably going to fall flat. And that's how it's closer to long form than it is to that more to the point. We know you're annoyed, right? Like short form, when you write short form copy, you're always assuming that nobody wants to read, right? Versus long form where you're like, it's cool, we're going to talk now. And that makes sense. That's kind of like the difference as I see them.
Cool. And so when people start experimenting with subject lines, how do you recommend they do that? You know, do you recommend that they sort of like try a lot of different things or stick with some formula that works and just kind of do different variations of that?
Yeah, I mean, once you've found something that works, assuming that your customers are staying generally the same and the people who are, you know, on your list is what I mean by customers, of course, in this case, assuming that they're staying the same, and of course, it takes knowing who your customers are at, you know, every turn, but you can generally assume they're staying the same. And if you've seen that something works with them, then testing variations on that makes sense, right? If you've developed a that works for your customers. I don't think you'll ever land at the perfect subject line, so there's no reason not to keep testing and tweaking that formula. I don't have a formula that I follow because, again, I think it should be based on what users are expecting from you, who you are as a brand, how friendly you are, or versus like how formal you are, the type of content. Like, there's so many different things that have to be considered in there. You should always be testing your subject lines. Point number one. Secondly, you do have the formula that you found that works. Lead with that as your control and then just absolutely test variations on it. Of course, there's tricks in testing subject lines too, but maybe that's the subject of another conversation.
Okay. So how much do you sort of pay attention to spam filters and words that they might block? When you're constructing a subject line, do you even think about it, or do you just say forget it?
Depends. It depends on feeling that. No, I'm kidding. I think it's all about weighing the risk, right? Just as in any test. And if you're testing your subject line with a small group of people in advance, right, as you're supposed to, right, test your variations of subject lines and see what happens with those. If something that's potentially slightly spammy gets a lot of opens, then it may be worth doing, right? But if it's quite spammy and it gets crazy filtered, right, like nobody is getting this thing, then it doesn't matter if a few people might open it, only a few people are going to get it, right? So it's about finding that balance. I find that said, I think a lot of the fear that I've seen in organizations, especially among like marketers who maybe don't do email marketing full time, but just do it as a one-off sort of thing, and they just absolutely do not want to compromise their list or anything like that. And I understand not wanting to compromise like the cleanliness of your list and your rating and all that kind of stuff. But there is a big fear with spam words, right? And to me, again, it's like, unless you're selling Viagra, you're not going to use the word Viagra. So don't have to worry about those spammy words. But the words free or savings are things that will actually show some real value to people and get them to open it. If it's going to show them the value that they need to click to open your email, then for me, and again, if you're testing, hopefully, I would recommend using, I use those words. I use those words all the time in all the all the emails that I write for various people. I use them, and you know, the conversion rate pays off. Open rate, of course, is what the subject line is all about, but ultimately, yeah, the conversion rate.
I've had a fear of using the word free in email subjects, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared of the spam filters, but that's just my own personal thing.
No, and that's what a lot of people say, right? That they're afraid of the word free. But if it's a really compelling free, right? If it's really compelling, if you, it's not just like, oh, free, you know, ebook download where everyone's like, boo, I don't really care anyway, so I'm getting that. Then maybe it's a good versus like, buy one copy of this and get a second one free to give away to somebody or whatever, something that's like actually like, oh wow, okay, I'd kind of like that. If you know your customers would like that, then it goes without saying that you should definitely at least put that out there. I recommend putting it out there versus some watered down subject line that doesn't show any real value or any reason to click to open, right?
And so that's like a nice segue into my next question, which is dirty tricks. And so are there any dirty tricks for subject lines that you'd either recommend or recommend people avoid?
Yeah, dirty tricks, eh? I'm of the opinion that you shouldn't have to trick someone into opening your message. So that's like the ethical road to take. Don't trick people. But I have actually seen recently like petition sites, you know, when you sign a petition on like Care2 or whatever, and NGOs and groups like that who are obviously they're really dependent on email marketing to bring people back. They're more likely to try those tricks, like that fake RE colon, as if you know, we're all one part of a big list. So RE or FW at the beginning of a subject line. That kind of stuff. I have found that when I receive those emails, I've never tested it with anybody, but I do recommend that, you know, you keep a swipe file and you pay, if you're in email marketing at all, you need to pay close attention to the emails that come in and your reactions to those emails. So when I get an email from a trusted source, like I've signed a petition recently and now they're emailing me about that petition, sort of, or like the results of it, and they start it with an RE and it's actually not like a reply whatsoever, I feel like I've been tricked, and then I don't really want to associate with that group as much anymore, right? And that's for a group that I already care about, like a petition site, right? I went to the link of my petition, so I obviously feel something here. Now imagine if I'm just some random company who's trying to sell you something, and I put a fake re at the front of the subject line, I'm not only going to get poor credibility, but I will probably be called spam because I've irritated the recipient enough that they're not going to go to the link of unsubscribing and being the nice guy who just hits unsubscribe. They're going to call me spam, and that, like, that's terrible. So I would say for dirty tricks like that, if you're not doing right by your customers, just don't do it. It's just to me, it's just not worth it. There are other smarter ways to get them to open up that email.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Cool. So the last question I have for you is beyond subject lines. If people wanted to learn to be better at copywriting for email, how would you suggest they go about that?
There are a lot of great resources out there. Absolutely, there are. But there are two routes that I would say to take. I mean, I think for every blog post that you read, there's someone else who argues against it, right? So I read this one big post on HubSpot email spam words. Like, spam words, don't use these words, here's what will happen. And to me, it was like, oh, okay, thank you very much. But then I got a bunch, that same post got tons of comments that were like, this is crap, you can't do it this way. And everyone's like arguing with each other about all this stuff with copywriting. So what that comes down to for me is, okay, take everything with a grain of salt, right? There's a lot of information out there. Most of it is diluted. A lot of it is written by people who've only written a couple emails themselves or have researched someone else's and then regurgitated it into their own blog post. So do read the posts that are out there. But I think in addition to that, it's about learning. I mean, subject lines and emails are copy. They're copy. So if you can learn to write copy, if you can learn to think of a subject line as something that's at least as important as a headline, like there's so much writing on that subject line, then it's a matter of really reading up on how to write great headlines, right? And plug for Copy Hackers ebooks, right? Check out some ebooks that people believe in and that are meant to help new writers write well, not people become copywriters, but people who are running a business and have other things to do to quickly write, you know, the right subject line. So do that. And then also I would say, keep a swipe file. So you can keep a swipe file today, right now. You can start it right now by, you know, creating a folder, email, or whatever you use. Call it email swipes good, email swipes bad, or email swipes welcome emails, depending on what you want to write. And then every email that comes in, you just plug it into those folders, just file it away in those folders, and then when it comes time for you to write an email, you can go look at the ones that hit you as good, the ones, and they should go into your email types good if they compelled you to open them, not just because you think they sound good or whatever, right? Like, you have to have actually gone and acted on them for them to be worth stealing from in the future.
Right.
But that's what I would say, do read up on copywriting, get to know copywriting well, especially headlines, and then keep swipe files. It's easy.
And buy the ebooks from Copy Hackers as well.
That's right. And we were talking, that's the subject of my next ebook is how to write emails. So yeah.
Well, we're excited to see it. So thanks so much for taking the time today, Joanna. Really, really appreciate
it.
All of your insight is fantastic, and you've been such a help to me in my copywriting, and I'm excited to be able to share you with everyone on our list.
That's awesome. I'm excited too. Thanks a lot. That's great.
Thanks, Joanna.